Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Living on Blockchain. Today, we are speaking to Prashant. Prashant is on the founding team of Argo App. Argo is basically creating a platform which is inserting decentralization in hosting and storage. It is a very interesting space to be in at the moment, especially because the entire world is kind of moving towards decentralization one way or another. We had quite an interesting chat talking about what Argo plans to do next, what are their greatest milestones, and right from the onset, how did Argo begin? So let's jump right in, and you know, you guys can put in your additional questions if you have any in our comments on any of the platforms, and we'll be sure to sort of send them out to Prashant so that he can answer them for you.
Hi, Prashant. Thank you so much for taking out the time to speak to me. How are you doing today?
Awesome. So it's in Bangalore, and Bangalore today it's raining, so the entire weather is also good now.
Lovely, lovely. Rains are so good. In Delhi here, it's really like hot at the moment where I am. So I'm hoping that it'll rain sometime soon here as well. So just for our listeners, Prashant, could you tell us a little about, you know, your background and how you got into the crypto and blockchain space?
Yeah, sure. So coming to me, basically, it is kind of a very interesting journey. Even sometimes when I look back, it becomes very interesting for me itself, like how it happened. So yeah, so I started actually my career in software development in 2016. But prior to that, I was in the college. And if you guys remember, there was in 2013 and 14, there was a website, W3 School was getting trendy too much. And using that W3 School, we were also planning to build something around that. And we called, I just forgot the name, there was something called Tree School something. Our seniors and everyone, we all have sat together and decided to build. But somehow, due to lack of the fundings, the plan got dropped and W3 School taken over the market like anything. So that was the point when I started basically my journey into the coding arena. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is how I started. And then in 2015, I just got selected in one of the companies. Today also, I'm very fortunate, like they did not send me the offer letter. And because of that, I had put more efforts into it to get into better company. So that was the thing when, and then in 2016, I just joined one company in CGI, went to Chennai, learned architecture, learned all the things around the software end-to-end cycle, how exactly it happens. It was a rigorous cycle for me because I was very new. And so that is how I ended up in the solution designing part from the Chennai itself, where mind shifted from just a normal coder to the business guy, or you can say is the person who understands the products and end-to-end and how it can add more value to the people who are using it. And so during that journey, I just landed into Bangalore. In the Bangalore, I got an opportunity to work with Siemens as a design and development engineer there. So I have designed a solution there, something called re-identification plugin, which they use in their infrastructure for a poll. So there are a lot of hospitals around the space. They use that for pseudonymizing their data. It is basically like hashing their data in a very different way. So that was totally designed and implemented by me. I led the team. And that has given me a vast exposure of understanding the data, basically, because Siemens, if you know, by the name itself, it just deals with a lot of data, and those data are going to be patient-related data. So my idea went into that direction also. So I started more realizing the value of data, as well as the value of not revealing those data. So if you hear just 2016-17, there were a couple of companies which was slapped around millions of dollars in order to. So what they did is like they by mistakenly they uploaded the patient's data to the server. And it just got to know, and they slapped those companies around millions of dollars, or 100 millions, 200 million dollars. So that was the point I was with the part of Siemens, and I realized like what is the importance and all those things. Then after the corporate journey, I decided to go and join some startups so that I can explore my expertise and also implement it from end to end. And that is where I landed in Quero. It has recently been acquired by CSG.
Okay.
So I was working there as full stack developer and was stabilizing the entire system. So it has given me a vast exposure in terms of system, in terms of how the entire development lifecycle goes from 0 to 1 or 1 to 10 or whatever we call it. And that is how I ended up in the becoming a full grown solution designer kind of a person, where I understand the product from end to end. And coming to the blockchain, which is a very interesting story. So a year back, what happened, one of my colleagues, who is my co-founder now, he and I was working in the Quero. He was my junior there. So one day he just said to me, is like, why don't you participate in hackathons and just to check out the blockchain and all those. And I was following Bitcoin from the past when I was in the college, but I never had the money to invest. So for me, it was a great chance to go and look around I went back and we participated in around 3 or 4 hackathons. That near hackathon we won, and then we won a couple of more hackathons back to back. And it given me a boost and morale boost in terms of, yeah, I can build something. And the interesting part is when I started journey, the first thing which I started seeing was the DeFi boom and NFT boom, right? That was the time when everything in the market NFT was like flooding like anything just a year back. And that point of time, I was looking around to build the product and we just sat together one day and it clicked in the mind. And then we said, like, let's go and build it. So that is where we got into foundership of product into the blockchain.
That's wonderful. So, you know, your journey has been pretty much like a little, you know, filled with serendipity, so to say, that, you know, you were somewhere else. And a bunch of coincidences kind of led you to where you are right now. So more power to you guys. And I know what you guys are doing, but, you know, for our listeners again, could you tell us a little about the Argo app that, you know, you're working on and what it does and where do you see it sort of heading in the future?
Yeah. So as I said, like, so when we started the Argo, basically when the idea, which idea got hit, so for us, it was pretty, so I and my co-founder was in a position to go and fork Uniswap and launch one more DEX, right? But for us, it was not the case. We wanted to build something which people are avoiding to build. And the reason why people were avoiding to build is because there is not too much of money upfront. For example, I just spoke and just went and launched my token. And the next day, my token will do 100X. That is not going to be happening with what we were going to build. And so what we decided is to go and build something which is a long run. And since I am coming more of a product oriented guy who understand the business as well as product. So for me, it was looking for the longer vision instead of the shorter vision, which in the crypto generally people do. So for in crypto, longer is basically 6 months and shorter is 1 month, right? I believe. So so for me, it was not the case, because even though today also people say is like you have a mentality of traditional mindset, I always say the traditional mindset has proven to be successful in the market from the past generations. And if you are saying like 6 months is going to be long term and only 1 month is going to be short term, then it is just a boom and just a bubble which will burst anytime. And that is what it happened, right? So last, I remember the Uniform talk when we were having on the call. I believe I have also said the same there also, right? So the burst is going to happen at any point of time. And after that, only the market got crashed. From 60k to it came to 35k. But yeah, for me, it is basically now people will start realizing the long-term perspective. And now coming to the Argo. So Argo is basically what it is solving is, if you see around the entire blockchain infrastructure, right? Blockchain infrastructure consists your EVMs, your oracles, your whatever. So these are the supporting layers, basically a layer zero on which your entire application is getting built on, right? And then there is something called storage layers and compute layer. All these layers are also getting built around it.
Right.
The only problem which we have identified is the ease of usability, right? So when we talk about any adoptions, correct? Any adoptions in future, if you go in the past decades or 100 years or 200 years back down the line, when we started building the cars, the car was used to have a very heavy engine and then only selected people used to use that. But now if you see that the engine got compacted and everything got abstracted out, and now people are, each and everyone is riding it, right? So this is the transformation of a technology. This is transformation of some real product. And then that is how the real product transforms. So if you see the infrastructure now in today's blockchain era, each and every user. So today, for example, if you want to save your data on a decentralized infrastructure, what you are going to do? Either you will go and first learn about Arweave. You go learn about Skynet, these storage protocols, and then you will decide, hey, you know what? I don't want to go any of these places. I'll go and dump my data on the AWS. And why is that so? Because AWS why AWS is because it is very easy to use.
Yeah.
Right? Even though it is centralized, I don't care. They have been from the past 20 years with us and they are going to stay for another 100 years. I don't care. My data is there. Yeah. Right? So our understanding of ours is to make life of the people to use these platforms easier. So what Argo does is it makes the usability and gives the usability basically to the user so that they can use these protocols without learning them at all. So for example, I am a web application developer. I want to deploy my web app, okay?
Right.
And today, if you want to deploy your web app on any of these protocols, you have to go and literally learn them, right, end to end. Then only you will be able to do anything. So for Argo, what you can do is you just go and literally just do a 3 clicks and your web application will be up and running in the decentralized environment. So that is how simple we wanted to make it. so that developers who are working on this logical part, they should focus on what they should focus on the business, while we as experts into this area who understands the protocols, who understand which protocol is going to be suitable for you, we make that expertise into the code, and the code take care of your data and putting into decentralized ecosystem. And the second most benefit, which I always inspire, like we have built it, is you don't have to go and use these protocol token at all. So you just use Argo token and you'll be able to deploy or even store, deploy or whatever you want to do with our provided infrastructure. You can do that just by using Argo token only and no more other tokens.
Yeah, wow. So no, I think that, you know, what you guys are doing is like really creating a dent in the way decentralized storage and hosting happens. Because see, right now, you know, because we are into this space, we seem to believe that everybody sort of understands this space. But it's quite a wrong notion, because even now there are so many people who kind of get intimidated by the idea of blockchain and the intricacies that it comes with it. Any kind of deep technology or any kind of a platform that uses deep tech, be it in cloud or, you know, AI, ML or blockchain, it comes with its own set of, you know, burdens, right? It carries a chip on the shoulder because there is a curve to it. So how do you intend to sort of, you know, increase on the adoption aspect for your platform? Because that learning curve would always be there because we are working with such a new technology. So, but what is your take as a founder on, you know, bringing that learning curve, like making it a little less steep, for the lack of a better term?
Yeah. So, yeah, I totally understand. So whenever we go for the deep tech and all this, there will be something. But coming to the Argo, right? So if you see the Argo Twitter account, just try to check it out once. And I recommend everyone to check it out. So it is what we are doing currently is there's something called Argo Educate. There is a series which we have started on Twitter called Argo Educate. And the motivation, the intention behind was, it's not to assume like everyone is going to be expert who are going to onboard us. Its intention was to launch this series for those people who don't understand the blockchain and educate them first about it. So if you see the marketing and all these things, right? So if you remember on the marketing side, when Google and even the computer, when it came, how it started, right?
Right.
We started building the educating the people around it, and then and how the education started is by tapping the institutes, tapping the roots of those things, right? So I remember it because one of my mother's brother, he brought in 1992 when Rajiv Gandhi brought computer in India, there was a huge strikes and everything happened, right? At that point of time, these guys, they have tapped the market, they understood the benefit of education. Then what they started, they bought some computers and they started the education center into NTPC. Okay.
Right.
And NTPC onboarded them, and then from there, their journey started. So one thing I understood from there is, if you want to promote anything, you have to make sure the education has been properly been given to the people. Now it's up to people how exactly they're going to use it. So for us also the same thing, the entire infrastructure, decentralization, data storage, blockchain, crypto, and all these things are pretty new for any people. Okay. Even in India, one point with this much population, really only I believe 0.00 some percent of people are using blockchain technology, right? Just assume if they have the knowledge to go and use this. So that is what our target is. So you will start seeing us participating in a couple of universities. We will be going on universities, tapping good tier one, tier two colleges and institutes to onboard them, to make them realize, like, see what we are building, how exactly. It is not only us, basically, just to use Argo. But with the Argo, we want to promote the entire blockchain ecosystem into the India. So if you see recently, Dhruv Rathi, who knows to be a good influencer in India, anyways, he has a different angles of ideologies which people follow, like if Modi government is there and all those. But he covered the entire blockchain one. And after that, we started getting a lot of questions on my Telegram, my Twitter, my LinkedIn, like what is blockchain? I also want to use it. So once people start hearing about all these things, they will start coming to you and asking like how to use it. Okay. So instead of us going and forcing someone to go and use it, show them the benefits, show them what exactly the power is going to be. And that is how Argo as an adoption, we are planning to do that.
No, that makes a lot of sense. When you kind of, you know, make the value proposition very clear to the end user that you have, they would be more interested and sort of even trying out a new platform. So I think that that kind of angle and that way of angling toward your customer is a very good idea. And what you guys are again doing, as I said, that you guys are doing something that a lot of some of the ventures, not a lot because there are only handful of projects doing this, but some of the ventures have tried to sort of do this in the past. But I believe that you guys have a solution which is very unique. So what would you still say that, you know, what is like the most unique quality for your platform? Because it deals with decentralized storage and hosting, like I mentioned earlier, what would be like a UBP?
So it is basically the entirely as a product, it's a UBP. It's a unique selling point is because we are just unifying the entire use cases at one place. So today also, if I ask you to go and use any of the deployment or infrastructure platform, right? So it will become very difficult for you to manage all those versions and all those, right? So that is where I see as a value proposition and unique value proposition where we help people to, first thing is like to manage or allow them to manage everything from a single platform. The second best important thing is like you just have to worry about only one token and rest will be taken care of by the platform. So that is what I like most. And the third thing, which just few days back we were discussing few things and we unintentionally we have also injected one more interesting thing into the product. Okay, so if you see the entire blockchain, so they all are made up of protocols, right? And all these protocols are nothing but small colonies,
right?
Okay,
that's and a good way to say it.
Yeah, it's a small colonies. And when people go from one colony to the other colony, they don't entertain them in that fashion, right? So that is how it is happening. And that is how I have went through and realized and talked to a couple of more founders and understood what is their mindset. So what Argo does, we are chain agnostic, okay?
Right.
Which means it allows us to that go in any of the communities.
That in itself is like a great thing, right? Like interoperability is such a challenge with so many chains that are popping up. And some of these are like nearly dead chains, but nevertheless, moving the tokens around. And I just had to interject and say that, you know, our listeners must know that that in itself is like a very big advantage. Please go on.
Yeah. So it allows those colonies to start interacting together by using our platform.
Right.
Okay, so new thing which we are currently working on is called interactive NFT, which will be driven from basically will be our part only. So using that, any of these community members can go and deploy. So, you know, right? So all these protocols, how they evolve, they will release some funds to build some dApps on top of it. And that is how they'll start getting the network effect and all those, right? So for us, tapping those markets are pretty easy because we can go and migrate our entire, we buy our some contract on their chain and that's it. Argo is live there as well. So, and their users, they don't even have to build new Argo altogether. Instead, they can start using us itself. So that is the beauty of a platform. So what we are building, it is basically the connecting those colonies together and making sure they start using us.
Yeah. So no, I think that is like in itself a very big USP that you guys have. And again, more power to you for, you know, being able to build this and building towards this particular vision. It's a massive vision. And, you know, if executed right in its entirety, it can only lead to good things. So where do you see Argo, you know, say in the next, you know, 1 year? What is like perhaps your next big milestone?
So first milestone for me is the V2 launch, which is going to be happening. The second milestone for us is basically to, so we have divided actually the entire thing into two aspects. First aspect is the technical aspects where we focus on the product. The second aspect is the marketing aspects where we go and make sure that our presence is there in the market. Okay, it should not be like we are dead for 5 months and then we suddenly came up and then we started doing that. No. So our approach is very consistent. If you see our social media and all those places, we have been pretty active and making sure all those posts and everything is going in. And our product team is currently working on deploying those applications. So our first milestone is basically the V2 release, which is going to be in a few days. The second milestone is the integration of a decentralized domain, which is HNS going to be integrated. And also the Skynet is going to be integrated. So these two is going to be coming on a second milestone basically for us. The product milestones basically. And coming to the marketing milestones. So once we have these integration done, and we have also CI/CD integration coming in with the second milestone only. So once CI/CD, Skynet and all this comes in, we'll jump in for the user acquisition part. Our initial target user acquisition is around 15,000 to 20,000 people. And for that, we have already collaborated with a couple of universities and institutes. And everyone will start hearing about Argo going to this university, Argo going to that university. And why we are doing that is the reason I have already told, is to educate them, make them build the product. And also we are also talking with a couple of more protocols to collaborate with us. And so, for example, there is a protocol called ARV. If ARV wants to go and do some kind of hackathons, they can collaborate with us and anyone can build the application on ARV, but use Argo as a deployment platform, right? So, and even same goes with Skynet, same goes with Near, same goes with any chain you talk about. So that is what our proposition is. But 6 months down the line, we are targeting around 20,000 users. This entire year, basically, we are focusing the max of 50K as a user base. And reason behind that is to keep that small number is to stabilize our system also. So we don't want to make the entire system burst out if huge traffic starts coming in. So so we wanted to go and linearly increase the bandwidth as well as linearly increase the user base so that everything thrives in a very good fashion.
Excellent. Okay. No, so that sounds like a really good plan and those are really good milestones. Regarding getting, you know, the initial developer or community support, like, you know, we all know as blockchain founders that community support is very integral to how the project kind of performs. How do you intend to sort of go about, what is your strategy there to, you know, get the community a little more mobilized so and incentivized to build on your platform?
Yeah. So from the past 4 months, the one thing which I was doing is to going to multiple communities and understand how they are building it. And I believe that is the best way of learning the things. And what I understood during that part of thing, there were a couple of things which we are going to introduce in order to push people to start using us and also to help people to start engaging with us by incentivizing via Argo token or whatever way we can. So there are three things which we are going to launching in coming around 2 or 3 months down the line. The first thing is the developer grants. So developer grants is basically, so if you see Badger DAO, right? So Badger is there, right? So Badger protocol. Badger, it's a totally developer focus, right? Everything is around developers. Developers can go and build and apply for the grants and all those. So we have taken one part from them. We said like, you know what, this part we like the most and we have taken from them is where we'll be launching a developer grant where any developers who wants to build their application or if they are in a certain phase, see the, our entire protocol, it is basically based on the Argo token, right? So if you want to onboard your user, you need those Argo tokens. We incentivize them using those Argo tokens. Go and use those Argo tokens, apply for grants and check the scalability and all those. And if we are getting win, we will also win. And that is how we are planning to do the on the developer side. Second thing which we have is with the developer one, there is also called bounty program and all this, which will be running parallelly, where they will be coming and joining us by going for the bounty hunt, smart contract auditing, security, bug finding, and all those things. So we'll be doing all those things. That is the part of developer grants part. The second part which we wanted to do is the marketing, basically. If you see most of the products which are getting built today, they don't have any open kind of culture where they can go and easily apply for marketing grants and all those. We started seeing many people reaching out to us on Telegrams and asking like we have a marketing proposal and all those. So we are totally changing the process of marketing. So what we are saying is, you know what, if you are really willing and interested to contribute on Argo, go and use the product, make some good video around it. Or if you want to write us about us, go and write us about us and then come back and attach those links with us. And definitely we'll be getting a grant from our side as a marketing push. And it totally depends on how much traffic and all these things you are generating. Those questions will be asked. And if everything is properly met, you'll be awarded with the grants from our side. So that it reduces the overhead from the team also to go and monitor each and everyone. But instead, on a weekly basis, we sit together and we do that. And 6 months down the line, around 6 months down the line, once our product and everything is stable, we have a DAO setup. So once that happens, that we'll also release that to the DAO. So DAO totally decides like, who should get the grant and who should not, so that we won't become the part of it. The third thing is basically the miscellaneous part. Miscellaneous is, for example, somebody is very active in the community. Okay. He's trying to resolve the issues, queries, and all those things for people around this space, right? So, and what are we doing for them? So that is where this kind of miscellaneous grants comes into the picture, where we incentivize people to use, to go and interact more with the community members and make the entire community alive. So that each and everyone wants to be stay there and stay together for a longer time. So that is the third thing which we are planning to do to increase the adoption on the developers, marketing, as well as other people who don't belong to the marketing, but they are willing to contribute.
Wow, that's quite a plan. And you know, this developer grant thing is such a good way to encourage more ecosystem participation. And that will also like encourage more developers to start building here. Obviously, like the incentive is very clear, but it's really good to know that you guys are thinking so early about developer grants and getting the ecosystem mobilized to start building on your platform. So again, you know, I'm like a big fan of what you guys are doing and obviously here to help in any way that I can. So yeah, more power to you. Let's move on from a little bit from Argo to the space in general. There are so many, you know, trends that keep coming in, like DeFi was called a bubble and NFTs were called a bubble. What is your take on, first, let's talk about DeFi and then we can, you know, move on to NFTs.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of DeFi. Okay, so whatever you hear, it will always...
That goes without saying, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there are multiple perspectives of the thinking of a problem statement, right? So what DeFi is currently doing is, if you see on the business perspective and all the on the investment perspective, if you give a thought, you will find like DeFi is going to be a success and nobody is going to stop it. The only thing which is going to stop it is the regulation part. And that is the big thing which you'll be seeing in coming few more around a year or two. I can bet on that. And that why I say that is none of the government or the countries want to money being float around freely, right? And it has to get regulated. And that is where I see little hiccups in the DeFi ecosystem. But apart from it, I don't see any problem there. Because for me, just a few days, I was talking to some person and he was asking like, how DeFi applications are able to give you this much returns and not the traditional bankings? Then I said, it's pretty simple because there is no mediator. And whatever is happening on the platform, it is crystal clear, right? So you AMMs just go and take the borrowed money, their borrowed amount, and that directly goes to the people who are parking, lending their money. It happens on the runtime and nothing has been controlled way, right? But there are a couple of more protocols getting built. Like there are a couple, I heard a few more protocols who are building a fixed rate kind of a system where you can just delegate your amount and get a fixed rate return, like around 6% or 8%, whatever. So on the DeFi part, I'm just fan of it because I utilize it heavily.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm a big fan of it. So there is no downward. The only thing which I see personally is the government regulations. If it comes in, all the users has to go for KYC and then they have to build some mechanism to stop those transactions and how exactly they are going to do that. I just want to see how exactly it is going to be. So that is my take on the DeFi side.
Sense. I think the DeFi is only bringing in a lot of good things. Obviously, everything comes with a little bit of caution. And so is with DeFi. Like, you know, there are issues like security of user funds because smart contracts at times are not audited and they are put out there. And then they get hacked or exploited in some way. So that is one issue. Obviously, you know, one needs to do their own research before getting into anything. And if you're putting your money there, then obviously do your research before, you know, following or jumping on any bandwagon. And what you said regarding, you know, how to maintain the transparency and make sure that the money is actually being utilized for legitimate things, that is also a concern that, you know, policymakers bring up quite consistently. So I think those are some pitfalls. But then again, I believe the technology and the sec is so much in its infancy that all of these things will come because innovation is kind of going to make sure that it is driven and the policy also will come. It'll come a little retrospectively, but come it will.
Yeah. So even on the same part, I just wanted to add one more thing. There were few people in the Bangladesh.
Right.
So they were from the R&D institute. They contacted me on LinkedIn. They just wanted to understand how exactly the regulation should be around. So my first answer to them was is to, if you want to regulate, then forget the adoption. Okay, because if you see the internet, right, in 2000 when the dot-com boost happened, did companies and did India or any countries came forward and said, hey, you know what, apply GDPR law or apply this data protection law or that data protection law? It was not, right? And it happened during mid-2009-2010 when everything got started around more of a data privacy protection and the Chinese firms getting into all these things. So that is the reason it started altogether, right?
Yeah.
But just think if the entire protection law and all this might have came at the point of time when they have launched the dot-com and the dot-com boom was on the flight, then it would not have been the same. So we have to understand one more thing is like whenever a technology evolves, it doesn't evolve if you put restrictions on top of it. Okay.
Yeah.
There will be. And so even today also there are porn sites and they have been rendered from the Google, right? Even SEO also ranks them. why people are not going and telling Google is like, why your SEO is giving me Pornhub or any of the on any of such sites, right? Nobody is good doing that. But if it comes to DeFi or some other places, people will just hit up and they'll start saying, hey, you know what, this is just a scam or something like that. So that is a wrong assumption, actually. People always make about any technologies.
Yeah. So there is a lot of misconstruct and a lot of wrong assumptions that are there. But, you know, and I think it comes down, the onus comes down to people like us who are building in this space to make sure that the right information is being passed out and the right perception is being created.
Yeah, agree.
So what is your take on it? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, second part, you were talking about the NFT part, right? So that is something very, very good to talk. I don't know. So there are a lot of aspects of it.
Right.
So few days back, I was hearing like there is something called NFT lending kind of mechanism people are building where you, if you hold the NFT, you can go and it's, or you can take a borrow on top of that NFT itself. So for example, $4 million it was, and I can borrow around $2 million, $3 million, whatever dollars out of it, right?
Mm.
I never understood that concept. Why exactly? Might be I'm not expert into that area, but coming to the NFT part specifically, I never understood the clear goal of the entire NFT market, where exactly they want to head towards. So yeah, it is pretty good. Like we are making the audios, videos, and all those digitized and uploading on the chain and wrapping it around your transaction IDs and putting into some of the storage and then giving out to the people. That is all good. So, but why? And then how exactly it is going to accrue the value over the time? So when we talk about the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Assets like digital arts, if it is not coming from a very renowned name, for example, Mother Teresa has drawn something and that can still be sold today around billions of dollars, right? So, but same thing doesn't apply to the normal XYZ. So it is more of a persona specific market, right? Where Sachin Tendulkar will come and sell something and it will be sold very heavy costly than the people who are really building something which is looking good and nice and everything, but the name doesn't attach to it. But when right. some names attach to any of the things, it also become a risk. And that risk become 100% from my perspective. It's because today, for example, I went and bought one NFT of a very good artist, for example. And tomorrow what happened is he got into some kind of a case doing some illegal thing. What will happen with the value of the NFT for which I have paid it for?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? What exactly going to happen? So that is a huge risk, right? It's 100% risk. And people who are investing into it, I know they are rich people, so it is fine for them. But I don't see like on the mass side, how exactly it will be done. But there's something called attaching the NFTs with the real-time assets. I believe that is what you guys are doing, right? On the Oro Pocket side.
Yes, these will be commemorative coins. They will basically be backed by like real gold.
Yeah, so that is going to be success, I believe. Because in the long run, if you see the asset which you are buying, it also has a physical presence, right? And it backs by the physical value of it. And it doesn't attach to any person or persona. So for example, even though if some bad news came, somebody said like, you know what, gold won't be accepted anymore. So gold price is going to up, not going down. Because everyone will jump and start buying the gold. Right.
Yeah.
But there is no negative news around it. But something might happen like the entire Forex and these reserves are going to release a gold in the market like that. It is not going to happen. First thing, it is not even practically possible. Right. Any of the governments are going to do that. So ultimately, if these things are backed with the real assets, whose value is going to be appreciated by any ways, that is a kind of something which is really going to work out. But if it's been attached to the person, I'll never buy such NFTs if it has been attached to the person.
No, I think, you know, you have a very valid point here with NFTs. The thing is that nobody's really sure where this bus is going to stop and when does the party end. Because the utility is a little, the real life utility of NFTs or the value that is being ascribed, that makes me a little skeptical as well, because I'm not entirely sure how do you even sort of gauge it, right? How do you ascribe that X amount of value? And then even if that value is ascribed, like what happens tomorrow? Because this can be like a pure speculation play as well, which is not a bad thing in itself. But again, perhaps, you know, I'm like an art noob and I don't really understand this. I believe NFTs do have like, definitely they have potential to, you know, solve a few problems. But right now, I don't believe that in their present form, they are doing that. Because, you know, it just costs like, you know, local artists, if they even think about, say, putting something as an NFT, right?
they have to actually put out some money from their pocket to make or mint an NFT. And then it is not even, mostly local artists are not going to be the artists that are getting sold out on of these NFTs platforms, right? Because nobody has really heard of them. There are these people who are creating, you know, meme artwork, and people who have perhaps who have like a considerable following on social media. They are the ones who are actually able to sell off their artwork. So it is about ultimately sort of that argument that plays out usually that, you know, NFTs are helping out local artists or small time artists. I believe that really falls flat right now, at least with the NFTs in the current form.
Yeah, I really always, whenever I just think about NFTs, somebody was talking in some conferences like, and the same thing which you said, like it is going to enable local artists and do all those things. So these are all just pure, what to say, I don't know how many artists they are onboarding, the local artists, but it is not playing. It is basically making a great artist great again. Okay. So for example, if somebody is already selling their arts in the art festival or some of these places, like showrooms, they might be selling at around $10 million. So in NFTs, they will be selling around $15 million or $20 million. so that is the benefit people are getting from my perspective. And I don't see going forward, who knows what can turn around and it happens. But the only thing is like, it is a very long way to go.
Yeah, I agree. There's a long road ahead in terms of NFTs. So now, you know, we are kind of running a little over time, but I would like to ask you, who are the influencers in this space that you would recommend that our listeners should key into to get all the right information and all the deets about whatever is trending in this space? Who are the ones that you follow?
Yeah, I follow Balaji Srinivasan because whatever he just shares, I always go and just peep it out. Yesterday only, I believe he shared like how to learn about the Bitcoin and all those. Went and I just read and all those things. So just make sure follow him at least.
Yeah.
And all those leaders in this space, like Vitalik Buterin is there.
Yeah.
Even Charles Hawkinson is there. Right. So they are not just the protocol owners. They are also the people who just try to share something which becomes very useful for you as a person who wants to jump into the crypto or the blockchain space. The third people is, and just try to avoid follow. If you're a trader, then that is totally different. Your call, whosoever you are following. Yeah. But if you are someone who believe in crypto and the blockchain, just try to follow the people who are really leaders and just see whom Balaji is following. So if you find out who Balaji is following, so you should follow them also.
Yeah, okay.
So that is how I go and trace the tree, basically. Who is the root into this tree?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I believe that is a good way to actually come across some really wonderful people who are doing some really good work in this space as well. So those are really good recommendations. Now, kind of coming down to, you know, my last question, this is something I ask everybody who comes on the show. If there is somebody who is looking in from the outside and they are still intimidated by the world of blockchain and technology, how would you say that they can take their first steps to start living on blockchain and really get into the space? What would be your suggestions to them?
I'll give a very valid suggestion because that is what I followed. But the first thing is you have to do is just go and learn a little bit about blockchain and feel it first. Okay. And if you're not able to feel it, just don't come here because you lost. If you can feel that thing, just make sure you are able to relate the entire thing with the real use cases and how exactly it can be solved once you go and everything around the blockchain. So for me, the people who belong to my mindset, they will be basically following the first principle is to learn what exactly it is. And the second principle is to just see what can be the possible use cases. And if you can feel yourself in those use cases, then the entire world is there to teach you anything you want to. So for example, in my case also, it happened the same. I started feeling the blockchain and how exactly it can shape the future. So I went and started reading about white paper, light paper, and all these papers around this space, Ethereum paper and Satoshi written Bitcoin paper. Just read about all those things and see how exactly they achieved all this. And it will open a wide area for you to explore any protocols, and you'll be able to build any products on top of any protocols.
Yeah, no, I think that is really sound advice. Let's start from the basics, get your fundamentals right, get your information right. And just if you're really passionate about the space and if you feel you can make a dent, then jump right in. There's usually a misconception that people have that only developers are, you know, welcome in the space because it's so tech heavy. But then this is not necessarily true. We have opportunities for every kind of position and every kind of profile.
And this needs to be like reiterated, I think, often to, you know, attract even more good, talented people to the sector.
Yeah, agree.
So thank you so much, Prashant, for taking out the time to speak to me and to our listeners as well. Are there any last thoughts?
Yeah, last thought is like, believe in crypto, believe in the blockchain, and it be the part of the parallel economy which is getting built.
Absolutely. Nothing better could have been said to close this. Thank you so much. And in case, you know, our users need to sort of reach you, what is the best possible way to sort of do outreach?
Yeah, so all those platforms. So if you just land on argoapp.life, there you find all my details. Just click on LinkedIn. You'll be able to reach on LinkedIn, Twitter, on Twitter. And just drop me a message, any of these platforms. And I'm pretty active on these, and I'll make sure you receive the response.
All right. Thank you so much. So this is it for today. Thank you so much, Prashant. Take care.
Yeah. Thank you so much for hosting me. Thank you. Bye-bye.